Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring, boring, boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
And welcome to the inaugural episode of West Coast Bias, presented by Baseball Isn't Boring. My name is Alonso Sariñana, or an American, Alonso Sariñana. I am stoked to be here talking baseball with all of you because as this platform is called Baseball Isn't Boring. And I'm really excited that that all the friends over here, Rob Bradford and others, have welcomed me in with open arms to come and talk ball. I talked ball with Rob a week ago or so. And we talked about the NLDS. Now we're going to talk about the NLCS. But real quick, just wanted to give you a little intro to me. Played ball up until college. Worked in baseball. Worked in other pro sports. Currently work in the college sports space. And produce a daily radio show on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City, the Sean O'Connell Show. And so I've been around sports, talk sports. But I love baseball. Baseball is my love. It's my first true love. When it comes to a sports space, as you can tell by the hat I'm wearing, I'm a little biased because I am from Los Angeles, and I do bleed blue. Also, given the jersey that those fine folks over there have given me, that's hanging right there. But on this show, we're going to cover the West Coast, the Rockies, the Mariners, the Athletics, regrettably the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, even the Padres. We're going to cover all those teams when it's in full season swing. But as of right now, it's the postseason, and it's, in my opinion, it's my Christmas. It's the best time of year. The leaves are changing. It's getting cold. Got to wear a hoodie. Got to stay crispy. And so I'm going to bring in someone that is going to chat some ball with me today. He's the producer of Everything Baseball Isn't Boring and a Mets apologist. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the NLCS, and that's Evan O'Brien, the executive producer of All Things Baseball Isn't Boring. Evan.
Hey, how's it going?
Before we talk sadness, let's talk about the ALCS real quick.
Yep.
It was game three tonight between the Guardians, your Guardians, and the New York Yankees, who I know you hate with a passion. And that's the reason I bring it up, because we can at least talk positively about one thing.
Yeah.
What a game. What an insane game. And that's, in my opinion, that's a momentum shifting kind of win for the Guardians, but that'll, you know, that'll play itself out. But as we watch that, first of all, that was bananas.
Yeah, no, that was the craziest game. And it's kind of funny because I think even Rob had like tweeted it out or mentioned it. That's really been like the first game in this like LCS series on both sides that's actually been like crazy until the very end. Like they go into extra innings. So it's like, that was like really the first game, because obviously with the Mets Dodgers, you got to blow out. You know, it's like blow out back and forth. And then the first couple games of that series, it just felt like the Yankees just had the momentum the entire time. So to have that game where the Yankees like are like, oh, look at us, we're coming back and we're going to win this game with ease. You know, Stanton and Judge get big hits off the closer who, you know, probably will get some Cy Young votes. And then you proceed to have the Guardians just go crazy and answer back and shift all the momentum back to their way with still two more games at home. I mean, that was huge.
No, and listen, man, it's always rad when you win in a walk-off fashion. But to win in walk-off fashion in a postseason game, let alone an NLCS game, that's huge. Big Christmas with who had been abysmal up to this point. Couldn't get anything offensively going. Just walks up there and just crushes a ball. And I mean, and also for the record, Cleveland, not the best sports city in the world. And I mean that with all due respect. Yep. But if you ever go there when there's something hyped happening, that's the best. And if you've ever been to Progressive Field, when that place is rocking, it's rocking. And it was rocking when Fry and Big Christmas both crushed those home runs to kind of get up over it. And listen, I mean, Aaron Judge is getting it going at the right time as well. They've needed that so badly. Giancarlo Stanton, who's just been on a tear, just also crushes that home run after Aaron Judge. in my opinion, still it could be a momentum shifter. We'll see kind of what happens over the next few days.
Yep.
The reason it's important is because obviously the winner of that tango is going to face the winner of the NLCS. This is a West Coast bias per se show. Yep. And so that's obviously why we're talking the Dodgers. But I'm curious, do you think it is a momentum shifting kind of series now where everything is at, or do you think it still is kind of as it's chalked up to be that the Yankees move ahead and face the winner of these guys?
I definitely, you know, as a Met fan and kind of like a born and bred kind of Yankee hater, I mean, I hope so, but it's such a weird situation with Cleveland, because it's like, if the offense can get going, then that's like obviously a series shifter. But at the same time, their starting pitching is just bizarre. Like, they can't seem to get past more than, what is it, like 4 or 5 innings every time. And then also, Emmanuel Clase cannot seem to close down the games that they have a lead in. So, like, I think they were saying, like, he's given up as many runs in this postseason so far as he gave up all during the regular season. So, it's like, it's a weird situation, because it's like, if the offense can get going, that's great. And that could obviously, you know, spark the Guardians to go far here and give the Yankees a run for their money. But at the same time, the pitching is really questionable, especially, you know, at the bookends, you know, with the starting and the closing. So that's the only thing that I think could keep the Yankees in it.
I believe the stat was he gave up 8 runs all season long, and he's given up 8 runs in the postseason, which is bananas. That's that. But that's the thing about baseball, right? There's, especially postseason baseball, nothing makes sense. Yeah. And so that's kind of why we're here now with it. For full transparency's sake, I come from the Bleed Los podcast. Shout out to those guys. Covered the Dodgers exclusively for a few years with them. And obviously I'm here now. Go follow them if you aren't at Bleed Los podcast. They're great guys. They cover the team ad nauseum in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way. That's just a Dodger-centric podcast. Yeah. I mean that in the most positive way possible. But the reason I bring that up is, on this show, we're going to talk about a bunch of different teams. And in this case, we're going to talk about the Dodgers and the Mets. That's why Evan's here. Yeah. And Evan and I are not on great speaking terms right now, because he's a Mets fan and I'm a Dodgers fan. But that's okay. That's the beauty of baseball. However, I will be honest, I'm a little surprised that the Mets have just kind of gone cold. Like, in my opinion, they're still a very dangerous team. I know the Dodgers aren't going to take them lightly going into the elimination game. I still maintain it's going to end up being a seven-game series, because in my opinion, the Mets right now are up against the ropes, and I think this is when they're the most dangerous. Really, the big thing that's going to kind of have to stick in order for that to happen is the starting pitching needs to get it together, because that's not kind of what we expected from Senga. He got lit up in game one. You know, Shamania's gotten lit up. And obviously, to the contrary, just like we all wrote it up, Dodgers starting pitching has been phenomenal. Outside of that bullpen game, their starting pitching has just been, for the most part, unhittable outside of today when Yoshinobu Yamamoto gave up those 4 hits. But Flaherty and those guys, They've kind of held it together. Are you surprised that the bats have gone this cold for the Mets, or what's the vibe like in the O'Brien household?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting situation, because I think they rely upon their top four a ton. So to see pretty much 3 out of the 4 of those guys struggle, like Lindor's been, you know, he's had hits here and there and walks here and there. Same with Pete Alonso, hits here and there, walks here and there, and Brandon Nimmo. But for the most part, they've been cold. Vientos is really the only guy that's kind of established himself and made himself known to, you know, Dodger fans and, you know, whoever else is watching the, you know, the games. But outside of him, I think it's just the last couple games, it's been tricky, because we have, like, at second base, we have Iglesias, who's got us here and has been a big piece of the team. And obviously, he puts out the song and it's like the rallying cry and everything. And he's been pretty solid of late. But at the same time, we also have Jeff McNeil, who was our second baseman for the longest time, but then gets hurt, but then comes back. So it's like, you don't really want to mess up the mojo with Iglesias, but you also kind of want to play McNeil. So that's an interesting situation. Then the other situation is Alvarez, who was a great hitter in his rookie year and is great behind the plate. Like, he's done really good with the pitchers the entire postseason, and that's been the main reason they kept him back there. But at the same time, I every single time outside of the Vientos grand slam that they had the bases loaded, he managed to make his way up to the plate and strike out every single time because his swing is just so uppercut and he just chases every off-speed pitch known to man. So that's been a tricky part of it because it's like you can't necessarily take him out of the lineup because the guy we have as backup's not anything to brag about in Luis Torrens, but he's been a tricky guy because it's like you can't take him out because he's good with the pitchers, but he's also not doing anything with the bat. And then the latest, I think the thing that most Met fans are confused about in this series is the use of J.D. Martinez instead of Jesse Winker. Because as much as J.D. Martinez has had an amazing career, and obviously he was really good with the Dodgers last year before he signed Ohtani, and he was good with us at the beginning of the year, and it's just like throughout the year he slowly went downhill, whereas Jesse Winker is exclusively, you know, rakes against righties. And the entire postseason, he's been our DH against every righty. And you guys only have one lefty in Anthony Banda, which was kind of – it was like part of the reason they weren't going to use him when they were pinch hitting tonight, but then Trinan came in, so they ended up pinch hitting him anyway. But I just don't understand why Mendoza feels the need to, like, get Martinez hot right now when Winker's raking. I don't understand that. And I think – I'm not – like, by no means did it really cost us that many games. Like, he's played the last two games, but I don't think that's the sole reason because, obviously, the pitching has just not been good the last couple games. But I definitely think – that putting him back in there instead of Martinez definitely would have sparked the lineup a lot more than putting in J.D. Martinez, who basically is chasing every off-speed pitch. I mean, the guys are just like, hey, just throw him a sweeper or a curveball or something to the outside, and he's just going to chase it. So I think, you know, it's like the big guy's not performing, the kind of questionable, like, should we change the lineup, should we not, and then the whole J.D. Martinez, Jesse Winker thing has really kind of been the demise of the Mets, along with the fact that the Dodgers just do not chase pitches, which I think was the biggest thing for the Mets really getting this far on the pitching side, because as we've shown throughout the first four games, our pitchers are very, like, they very much want to attack by getting the other team to chase. And so far the other team, being the Dodgers, has not chased at all and has taken, I think it's at least like seven walks every game so far. So that could be a big reason as well as to why the Dodgers are up.
Well, and to be fair too, to J.D. Martinez, he had two walks today. So yeah, he was a little patient at the plate, but 100% to your point, I feel like they're being impatient with some of their at-bats, the Mets are, and just trying to make something happen. And they did get dudes on base. I mean, they had that bases loaded situation against Devin Phillips. You know, they Blake Trinan got them out of that jam. So, I mean, they've left runners on base that they shouldn't have, which is ironic because that's what the Dodgers' problem was in the NLDS with the Padres. And they were able to kind of switch it up, and they had more patient at-bats. And here we are now. I mean, and the other thing, too, is the starting pitcher for the Mets has really surprised me. I actually expected a little more coming out of them, and I expected a lot more from that bullpen. That bullpen against the Phillies was pretty lights out, and I fully expected all those guys to kind of just have it, you know, kind of when you – it was kind of like the Dodgers situation, right, where once you went away from the rotation and you got into the bullpen, you felt really safe about kind of what you're – you know, when you're hedging your bets. Now I feel like if you get to the bullpen, and at least in this series – It's very different. You don't necessarily trust that bullpen. And I mean, and no disrespect to Quintana, he just didn't have it tonight. And I mean, he gave up five hits, five earned runs, four walks, and I believe two strikeouts. But then again, it also, you just have to tip your cap sometimes too, because this Dodgers offense is just firing on all cylinders. It doesn't help when the unicorn, the best player on the planet, Shohei Ohtani,
yep,
just rakes the first pitch out of the game. Like, it's just not fair. Like, but you know, at that point, it's just like, okay, That's what we have to start with. And I mean, they've been outscored 20. The Mets have been outscored 27-2 in losses in the series. And that's just tough to overcome. That's a massive deficit. And either way, I still maintain the Mets are just as dangerous coming off of the ropes over anyone. We've seen it because what was the stat? I think they had, I don't remember how many they had come up from behind wins all season long. The Phillies, in my opinion, who were the best team in baseball, They came back and punched the Phillies in the mouth too, and they were able to kind of overcome that deficit as well. So that's why I'm sure the Dodgers, like I mentioned, are not taking it lightly going into an elimination game, but that's when a team's the most dangerous, is they know that it's kind of end game if we all go home tomorrow if we don't come out. I am curious to hear from you though, because so right now, from what was announced, it's Jack Flaherty starting for the Dodgers, and then Peterson is going for the Mets. So it looks like it's a bullpen game for the Mets. Given that we just talked about that bullpen, how do you feel about this being a bullpen game in an elimination game?
Yeah, so it's been kind of interesting with that slot, because obviously Senga was like hurt the entire year, and then he comes back out of nowhere to be the first starter in the Philly series in the NLDS and kind of shocked everybody. And he did pretty well there, but obviously he's not stretched out. So he goes like three innings anyway. So every time he starts the bullpen game, Peterson has kind of been our Swiss Army knife the entire postseason. Like, he obviously shuts out the Brewers to help us move on to the NLDS. Then he kind of piggybacks on Senga in the NLDS and does really well. He's kind of been used in the bullpen or in a starting role. I definitely think it's the better decision to go with him out of the gates as the starter in this game. It's just tricky because it's like, as much as clutch as he's been up until this point, and maybe just going back to the role that what he was used to in the regular season will change it. But I do know that, like, as much as Senga had a crappy first game against the Dodgers, I think Peterson gave up the same amount of runs in two innings as well. So they definitely did have his number in that first game. And it's kind of a tricky situation, because it's like, you know, some of the starters that you felt so strongly about and you relied upon haven't come through. So you're really relying on these guys. And then also in a bullpen game, I was even telling you before we started recording here, like, our bullpen, the circle of trust is essentially, it's like eroding by the day, because, you know, the postseason started and it was Jose Budo, it was Phil Maton, it was Ryan Stanek, it was Edwin Diaz, and it was Danny Young. No, he's like the back end of the guy, but it was Edwin Diaz, it was Ryan Reed Garrett.
I thought you meant
So those were the four guys coming into this postseason where I was like, hey, if the starter comes out, we got these five guys or these four guys. And then Budo has he's having a terrible postseason. Obviously, he comes in game four and just absolutely implodes after they take out Quintana. Reed Garrett had a tough game the other day. Phil Maton gives up the two-run homer to Mookie Betts tonight. So essentially, at this point, it's like the only two guys that Carlos Mendoza might even feel the smallest bit safe about is Edwin Diaz, who obviously had a rough outing in his first time up against you guys. He ends up getting out of it and striking out three to end that game, and the only Mets win so far. But he's kind of been shaky. He pretty much just has to throw the fastball because he can't seem to locate. I think it's the slider is his secondary pitch. And then Ryan Stanek's been really good. But at the end of the day, it's like if Peterson only goes, let's say, three innings tomorrow, and then let's say Senga comes in and gives them another three innings, you still need to cover another three innings, and you only really got two guys to cover it that you really have trust in, and then you're just banking on, you know, a comeback game from a Reed Garrett or a Phil Maton or a Jose Buto. So it's kind of a tricky situation with the pitching. That's why I think, like, much like the offense did in game two, I think that's what they would need to do in a game five, which is a lot easier said than done, because our pitching is definitely questionable. So it's like, even if the Mets are up 6-0, 7-0, in a game five, I don't think any Met fan is fully feeling, you know, confident and safe, just like, you know, as compared to like Dodger fans tonight. You guys probably were like, all right, I can go on with the rest of my night's plans because we got this in the bag. Mets fans, I think if we're up like 7-2 in game five in the seventh inning, it's like, I gotta stay locked in until the final out here, because this bullpen is really shaky. So,
I mean, I'll be honest, you can definitely tell that the Dodgers are playing in the all gas, no brakes mindset. And I think that's great, because this is what we expected from the Los Angeles Dodgers all season long. What we're seeing right now, balance in the starting rotation, balance in the bullpen, and obviously the offense doing what it's doing. Mind you, this offense is also doing this without Freddie Freeman right now. Freddie Freeman is banged up. Like I said this when I talked to Brad Foe last week. I see football players that have those ankle injuries that don't play for a month. They go on the IR in football, right? So yeah. For him to be toughing it out as much as he is, kudos to him. That's a guy that wants to do it for the team. But I think right now there's definitely an edge to this team that they kind of – I don't want to say they lacked all season, but this is why you kind of have this group put together to go out and do this. This is why you spent $300-plus million on this payroll to go out and what they're doing. Kike Hernandez is going to – when it's all said and done, if the Dodgers advance and they win the NLCS, it's either he has to be the NLCS MVP. Like, it goes without saying. That guy's had a phenomenal series all season, all series long. And he said so himself yesterday when he was talking to Sierra Santos of MLB Network. All this is great. All I want to do is win the World Series. That's the mindset that they're going into, right? Yeah. And that's scary when you have a team like this where the overall nucleus is okay. We're going to go out and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And now they're one win away from the world, from getting the pennant, getting the World Series, first time since 2020. And for me, I didn't expect this rotation, candidly, to be as good as it is. I mean, I know this is why you went out and got Jack Flaherty, and I really wasn't worried about Flaherty. It was going to take him an outing or two to kind of adjust to it all, and that's fine. We're all human, right? And the postseason environment, you're a little amped up, you're juiced up. I mean, we've seen it in the ALCS, Emmanuel Clase, who's lights out, but has looked human in that series. Edwin Diaz. Lights out. And he had some tribulations this season, right? They took that job away from him. Yep. Had to earn it back. And he's been put in some tight spots. I mean, even when they advanced and they beat the Padres, that was a dicey outing for him, but he was able to get it done. Yep. And it's those little intangibles of those small mistakes when you're missing certain spots, or like you said, when they're throwing sweepers and some guys aren't being patient at the plate. The Dodgers are just having better at bats. They're being more patient at the plate. And even at that, they're doing something that I am elated that they're doing. They're manufacturing runs. It's not just, leaning on the home run ball. You know, you're not leaning on multi home run like balls as well. Like, they're going out there and playing small ball. Mookie Betts was one hit away from going for the cycle, and just going out there and doing Mookie Betts things. And Shohei Ohtani finally hit with, got a run scored, even though it was a solo home run, but there was no one on base. And everyone was talking about, my guy can't do it with anyone on base, without anyone on base. And so now, as Rob Bradford jokingly said on Twitter, he's the greatest of all time. We have to crown him that now, right? But this is a team that's firing on all cylinders. And the postseason, as you know, Evan, it's about who's the hottest at that time. John Smoltz alluded to it. And I don't know, man, if there's a team that I don't think I'd want to run into that's in freight train mode, is the Dodgers. And I'm not just saying that as a Dodgers apologist. They're just from top to bottom, they just have so much. And the other wild thing, Alex Vesia's hurt. He's not available at all. They're doing this without Tyler Glasnow. They're doing they're no Clayton Kershaw. There's other superstars that are not there, and no disrespect to Jack Flaherty or Shinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto's a rookie, and Jack Flaherty, no disrespect to him, but he had been criticized for some of his postseason outings prior, and he has stepped up to the plate, and this shows you why the Dodgers went out to got him, right? And so for me, it's one of those where it's like, okay, and for transparency's sake, our boss, Joe Kelly, not on the roster either. And that's another postseason arm, right? So it's one of those where the Dodgers are firing on all cylinders, all gas, no brakes, and it's not looking good for the Mets. I'm not going to sit here and say the series is over, because like I said, I think it's going to go 7 games. Crazier things have happened. I'm allowed to also update my prediction as we go along in real time. It's just ironic that I'm being a little more optimistic than Mets apologist Evan O'Brien is right now.
Yeah, no, it's kind of an interesting thing, because it's always funny when you're on Twitter or X or whatever people want to call it, and you're scrolling through things, and it's like a Mets team where it's like, if you kind of sit back and like look at the team, it's like, one, they've been resilient all year and all throughout the playoffs, so you really don't have a reason to doubt them. Despite the fact they've had a couple rough games, And it's like also the fact that coming into this year, you know, everybody and their mother was saying it's going to be like a retool year. You know, they're just signing guys on like flyer deals, like Severino and Manaea are kind of the perfect examples. So it's like you go into the series with like, you know, oh, this is not really going to be, you know, like we trust me. It's like, I hope that, you know, the power of friendship and the team of destiny, you know, like I hope that carries us, you know, far. But it is one of those things where it is kind of funny in the postseason, because it's like you've had such a great run and every round you've been like, wow, you know, Mendoza's great and this guy's great and this guy's great. And then you have a couple bad games and it's like, oh, Mendoza doesn't know what he's doing. He's terrible with the bullpen. Oh, he doesn't know what he's doing with the lineup. So I'm definitely not that way, but I definitely do probably ride the roller coaster, as probably most fans do, where it's like after a win, I'm like, oh man, we're gonna win three more games. Like after the game two win, I was like, we could win this in five. And then now we're sitting here 3-1, and you guys are very close to winning it in five. If that, you know, if they win on what is it, Saturday or no, they play
tomorrow. It'd be Thursday.
Yeah. So.
Well, and I'll say this, the Mets fans. I have a few Mets fans and friends that have worked there over the years that are ardent supporters of the Metropolitans, but like Raider fans, like Jets fans, like Giants fans,
yeah,
it's been nothing but years of abuse. Yeah. And I'll be honest, that Subway Series back in 2000, that was cool. Like I'm not one of those Dodger fans that like holds ill will towards like my Piazza. Like, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Right. Yeah. But that's still, when the Mets are good, it's good for baseball. Just like you say in football, right? When the Raiders are good, that's good for football. When the Jets are good, that's good for football. The Giants are good, that's good for football. And so the fact that it's both New York teams, the Dodgers and the Guardians, it's just funny that the other AL team is just not a massive payroll team. But it's still good for baseball because the Guardians are also one of those teams in lore that when they're good, it's also good for baseball too, right? And so... So it balances out. However, do I want the Dodgers to drop another 10 spot on you? Absolutely. I will not be opposed to it in any way, shape, or form. And it would just be kind of, even if the Dodgers don't win the World Series, I'm just going to throw this out there, assuming they advance.
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani in his first season experiencing the entire playoff run is magical, because he went from no playoffs to all of the playoffs in his first season with the Dodgers. So, and that's what's good for baseball, because at the end of the day, if the best player on the planet is going through and making a run, in my opinion, that's good for the game, even if you hate the Dodgers.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. And it is, you know, it is an interesting thing, because it's like you go into it and all these people are like, I always see all the articles where it's like, oh, ranking the best World Series matchups. And it's always funny how you're like, I know it's going to be Dodgers Yankees. I know it's going to be Mets Yankees, because that's what everybody wants. But then, you know, the Guardians always get no love on that list. It's always funny. They're like, Cleveland Guardians and Yankees, no, or Cleveland Guardians and Mets. Nobody wants to see that. Cleveland Guardians and Dodgers. Nobody wants to see that. But
no.
But no, it is pretty funny. And I will say, as a Mets fan and a Yankee hater.
Heavy emphasis on Yankee hater.
Yeah, I will say that if the Mets proceed to lose the series, or when the Mets proceed to lose the series, however you want to look at it, if you're a Mets fan listening to this, I will officially take off my Mets hat and put on a Dodgers hat and root for you guys in the World Series. So,
you know what just happened? That, have you seen the meme of the Bloods and the Crips holding their flags together? That's just what happened. And I'm here for it, because we will happily embrace you with open arms for that series, because as I don't hate the Yankees, but I hate Yankee fans. Does that make sense? Yeah, I hate dislikes.
That's almost more of like, that's more of like where Mets fans are at, I think. Because it's like the players, like it's like they have a lot of players that are kind of lovable. I don't really hate their players all that much. It's just
how,
like,
can you hate Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I know. He's just like a business guy. Yeah. So it is a pretty funny thing where it's like you like don't want their fans to be happy. So by that being the case, you're like, I need the players to lose. That's kind of how the fans get happy or not. So
no, and again, I don't hate, I just dislike Yankee fans. Yeah. And again, they probably say the same thing about Dodger fans, if I'm totally honest, because they're like, oh, you guys are entitled snobs and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, bro, it's like in soccer, everyone hates Real Madrid, right? If you're not a Real Madrid supporter, everybody hates you. Just like in baseball, if you're not a Yankee fan, everybody hates the Yankees. Yeah. And that's the one thing we can all like get together on and embrace each other and let you in. But we'll save that for if and when the Dodgers advance to the World Series or if the Mets advance, we'll touch on that. Evan, first of all, thank you for letting me knock off the rust. I haven't done a full podcast in like almost a year. So thank you for letting me knock the rust off a little bit. I feel it though. Like there was some ring rust. So we'll work on that. But again, I'm super thankful to everyone at Baseball Isn't Boring for welcoming me up with just like I'm embracing you as with open arms. If the Dodgers advance, everyone in the Baseball Isn't Boring has embraced me with open arms and it's been rad. And I look forward to not only getting to know you, Evan, a little more, aside from your Mets fandom and your Yankee hate, but engaging with all of you people that follow the Baseball Isn't Boring platform, because this platform is, in my opinion, one of the best in baseball, and it's something that baseball needs. And I'm not just saying that because I work here now. I'm saying that because as a baseball lover, let's have fun. Let's remind the people that baseball isn't boring. So if you're not following, please follow Baseball Isn't Boring, myself, at Alonzo Settignena on the Twitter. You'll see it on Instagram. It's at the Instagram. You'll also see that. Please follow, send me messages. I got some DMs the other day after I made kind of my quote unquote debut with Bradfo. Thank you all for the kind words. I really appreciate it and look forward to engaging with you more. But for now, it's your boy Alonzo. This is West Coast Bias. And then we will talk maybe in a couple of days, if whether the Mets advance or whether the Dodgers advance, we're going to talk. Yep. It's just going to be, it's either going to be really sad for me or really sad for Evan. It doesn't matter. It's just going to be sad, but one of us is going to be stoked and we'll be here. So until the next one, this has been West Coast Bias presented by Baseball Isn't Boring, and we will catch you on the next one.